I didn't think being a lonely grave robber with debts was very good, but I had no reply. She stopped and pointed at something pale set into the alcove, barely visible in the dark. Take that. I thought it may be a canvas sack, but found it hard and cold. I realized that what I held was a stuck thumb in an eye socket. And I turned it over, and the skull grinned at me as madly as Fairgrave, who offered no explanations, only led me deeper below the earth. "Why are you in debt?" she asked after a time. I thought that intrusive, but doubted I'd ever see her again. "Outfitting doomed expeditions," I said. "Used to hire a whole crew. Now I must find something just to pay for all I ain't found yet." "Is that a jolly life? Chasing a phantom of gold so you can send it after the ghost of gold already spent?" "Jolly?" I spat. "Well, like hell." "Very good," she said again. The shriek of iron hinges and a flash of light surprised in any reply from my mind. The narrow tunnel grew bright as Fairgrave pushed a heavy door. We entered a vast chamber with lit torches ensconced along each rough carved wall. The room was devoid of other furnishings except for a raised stone slab at its center, something like an altar. Upon this, lying in repose, a headless skeleton. I hefted the skull. "Is some kind of key?" Fairgrave smiled eagerly. I set the skull with its bones as respectfully as I could manage. I'm not sure what I expected. Perhaps great rumbling as a hidden counterweight fell and a secret passage opened. But instead, Fairgrave climbed onto the altar. She lay down next to the skeleton like they were lovers abed. "What now?" I snapped, her eyes closed. "You'll understand soon. You're a capable man, far more helpful than the last fellow." My patience for nonsense was gone. "Where's the god's damned treasure?" With Fairgrave stretched out in torchlight, I noticed a thick scar running across her throat. She spared a final cruel laugh. "Treasure? I suppose he did have a very fine belt." She gestured to a heap of rubble along the wall, which I now realize was a man's remains. Amid folds of cloth and twisted flesh, I spied glinting gold. "Take it!" But the tomb must, as she spake, her voice deteriorated, and whatever else she meant to say died in a dusty hiss. I thought what happened next was a trick. The flickering shadows, or my weary eyes drifting crossways, but no. Where once had been a skeleton and a woman, now sprawled a single body. Its flesh was at first wet and pale, but began to fall from the body in strips of rotten black meat, even as I struggled to comprehend. Fairgrave's pretty face bulged and collapsed in turn. Her smile never faltered, only grew wider and wider until the putrefied cheeks split through from corner of mouth to corner of eye. I screamed, but no one heard. The door slammed against the wall as wind raged impossible through the underground. It tangled my hair about my head and turned Fairgrave's corpse to dust and smoke, carrying it from the altar in a twister to dance gray and foul about the room. The torches flared a sickly green. A final sharp gust scattered the remains and blew out the lights. I wept in the dark, thinking this is how it ends. It was a despairing thought at the time, But now it seems impossibly hopeful. The torches flickered back to life some time later. I know not how. The altar was empty then. I admit I briefly imagined treasure manifesting there through whatever bewitchment infected this place, but that did not happen. I fled, and by some miracle I made it back to the well without falling in. The moons and stars were absent from the sky when I crawled out of the well. Even when I stood beneath the gaping hole in the chapel roof, I went to the chapel doors, but the world beyond seemed to disdain the very notion of light. I hardly saw the ground beneath my feet as I stepped out. I fell unto the threshold, immobilized as though some unseen beast had set its claws in me. I wailed and clutched my midsection, whereupon I discovered that there was a belt there that was not mine. A vulture's skull strung on a hempen rope. Light burst forth from the skull, pouring from eyes and beak in great agonizing rays and making the bone glow like hot coals. The last thing I remember was my horror at seeing how this light illuminated nothing at all beyond the chapel doors. It glared endlessly outward, unbroken by tree, nor mountain, nor any living creature. I woke upon a stone-cold altar. My body lies there still, though I may never rest. That is the first lesson, my children. Beware whose confidence you keep. Their purposes may be different from yours, and you, my friends, may end up laying in a cold grave and have the feelings